favor begin here on the top of Kofed Amud Aleph, the last line of the narrow lines. Tanan Otom, we have a Mishnah over there that Halev Kor'o Umotzia Damo. The right way to deal with the heart is to tear it open and to drain it of its blood. Lo Kira'o, if he didn't do that, Eino Over Alav. You're not in violation. Amar Rabbi Zeira Amar Rav, Lo Shna El Belevo. That's only true when you're dealing with the heart of a bird, a fowl. Oh, Vainbo Kizayat, because it doesn't have a Kizayat worth. Although, as Tosafot points out on the previous Amud, there still is an Isur, because we pass in like Rabbi Yochanan, which is Chatzi Shiur Asur Min HaTorah. Although, it could be that Rav does not hold that position of Rabbi Yochanan, and he believes Chatzi Shiur is not Min HaTorah, and then when Rav says, you're not Chayav, it means you're not Chayav anything, Midoraita. Aval, Lev Behema, the Yeshbo Kizayit, if you're dealing with the heart of an animal where there is a Kizayit, Asur V'chayavin Alav Karet. Not only is it Asur, but you're also Chayav Karet. So first of all, interestingly enough, we're dealing with the measurement or the Shiur of a Kizayit over here, even though we're dealing with Dam. So that's interesting because we do find interchange between the two of them. The Gemara in Shabbat says, and the Rosh Hashanah mentions this over here as well, that dam, that is a revit worth of dam, shenikrash, which coagulates, ends up being a kezayit. So there the Gemara sees them as being equivalent, which is a revit of liquid dam is equal to a kezayit worth of dam karush, of coagulated dam. But it's just something interesting to note, because we're dealing with a liquid here, and yet they're still using a terminology of kezayit, which is used for solids. The Tosafot in Kulin, based on what we learned in the Gemara Menachot, that says that Dam Shnit Bashel does not have any Chiyuv Doraita associated with it, says that the situation here can't be that he cooked the heart with the Dam in it. In contrast to Rashi, who seems to indicate that they did cook the blood in the heart, and the Rambam himself, when he passes Alocha, does not bring the Alocha that Dam Shnit Bashel is not considered to be a violation, Midoraita. And the possibility is, maybe from the Gemara over here, and the parallel Gemara in Chulin, where it says that he eats the heart, and Stam eating the heart, he probably doesn't eat it raw, he cooked it, and despite the fact that he cooked it, the Dam still has a Chiyuv Karet associated with it. So you see that this Gemara argues on the Gemara in Menachot, and that might have precipitated the Rambam's Psak, that Bishul Badam does not take away the Isur Doraita, and that might explain Rashi's Shita with regards to this, that was in Chulin, that was speaking about a heart that was cooked. Statement or the qualification of Rabbi Zeira Rav is that this Mishnah that says that if you don't tear open the heart and seemingly that you cook the heart, then the blood that was in there is below the threshold shiur that you need to be chayav, and that's why ain't over alav. That's why you're not in violation. But the implications of that are that by the behema, where you do have sufficient blood to hit the threshold shiur, there you're going to be chayav. Not only you chayav karet, which indicates that this is dam that is subject to karet, which is a problem for the bright that we brought yesterday, as well as our Mishnah that mentions dam alev as being something that does not have a chayav karet associated with it. And that's the ma'as here from the Tosefta yesterday. Meitve, damat kol, the blood of the spleen, dam alev, blood of the heart, dam akleyot, blood of the kidneys, dam evarim. Dam of any one of the limbs, hari elu belotase. They are all a restriction, a lav, but they are not considered to be a chiyuv karet. Dam halcheshtaim. Then you have the next level of restriction, which is blood of human beings. Dam shkatzim v'remasim. Asur, that you have a restriction on, but ein chayavin alav. There is no chiyuv associated with that. Again, with human blood, we already discussed yesterday. The Shratzim, we also discussed yesterday that they still have an Isur Sheretz associated, but doesn't have a separate Isur Dam. And by human beings, there might be a prosh. There might be a requirement of separating away, depending where the Dam of the human being is found. If it's still in their body or attached to them, then there is no din of prosh even. If it already separated away, like if you find it on the bread, then you should scrape it off, you get rid of it, because there is a din of prosh. But you see from the gradations of the Braita, from the Tosefta, that Dam Halev does not have a din of Chiyuv Karet. It's a Yilav. It's a Lotas. It's not a Chiyuv Karet. My answer is, Kiktani ain't Chayvin Alav al Dam Dilei. When we have here that the restriction is simply a Chiyuv Lav and not a Chiyuv Karet, that's in the blood of the heart itself. Kikam Arav, Rav's statement is, the blood that comes from the outside, meaning that the heart has blood that is within the heart itself, in the muscle of the heart, there's the blood that's there, and that's no different than any other dam evarim, which is subject to a lav, it's not a chiyuv karet. On the other hand, you have blood that flows through the heart, as the heart is a pumping machine, it takes the oxygenated blood and pumps it away from the lungs to the remainder of the body. That blood that's flowing through the heart, that's considered to be dama nefesh, and that's something that you're chayav karet for. Dam delay, hainu dam evarim. Wait a minute. The blood of the heart itself, in the muscle of the heart, that's equivalent to dam evarim. And if you looked in the Tosefta, it gave you a list of organs, and then it mentions dam evarim afterwards. So if you tell me that dam alev means, or is equivalent to dam evarim, just say dam evarim. Why mention them both there? Vili tamech. According to reasoning, mi lo ktani dam klayot. Doesn't it also mention the blood of the kidneys? Ktani dam evarim. And then it also mentions dam evarim. The Gemara's point here is that in the list of organs there, the tchol and the lev, the spleen and the heart, you can speak about blood flow through the organ, as well as the blood of the organ itself. So in that situation, you could have argued that the blood flowing through the organ is what's being spoken about, and dam evarim is the blood of the organ. The problem then arises with dam hakleyot, with the blood of the kidneys. By the kidneys, there's no blood flow through the kidneys, there's only blood in the kidneys, meaning in the organ itself. So if that's the case, then you have to say that despite the fact that the Tosefta mentioned dam hakleyot, it still mentioned dam evarim, even though dam hakleyot is dam evarim, and there's no other alternative way to explain what the dam of the klayot is. So that shows you that dam evarim over there is not to the exclusion of what was stated before, but rather maybe even like an etc., which is, I'm giving you an example of three organs, and then all dam evarim has the same din, but that doesn't mean that those three items mentioned before were not dam evarim. That's what the Gemara says, elatani, vahadartani. Just like over there, it mentioned dam hakleyot and then mentioned dam evarim. Achanami, so too by the dam alev. It's tani, vahadar tani. Mentions the dam alev, meaning the blood of the organ itself. And then it mentions the dam evarim, which is also the same or similar, synonymous with dam alev, but it just extends it to other organs. As well as the fact that we saw in the Mishnah, the Shita Mikubetzet mentions that these are critical organs. And therefore, you might have thought, you might have had a havamina that the blood in them is considered to be dama nefesh. And this dispels that fact, and that's why they're mentioned in particular, but not because they're differentiated from any other dam evarim. The Gemara says, mi'alma meheicha atile. The blood that is not in the heart itself, not in the muscle of the heart, but the heart blood that's flowing through the heart, where did it come from? The question is not, where does the blood come from? The blood comes through the circulation in the body. But the question is, how do you know that the blood contained within the heart, at that point in time when you take out the heart and you want to utilize it, you want to cook it and eat it, how do you know the blood contained in the atria, the ventricles of the heart, is dam hanefesh? Because only dam hanefesh is subject to chiyuv karet. So how do you know the blood there is dam hanefesh? So I'm Rabbi Zeira, b'shashin neshama yotzah, the time that the life force of the animal is departing, mishraf sharif, it is absorbed. It is pulled in. It's drawn in. The heart, it becomes an absorptive machine when it is losing its life force. Therefore, it draws in dama nefesh into the heart, and that's why it has a din of dama nefesh. Rashi explains over here is because moshech dam mibeit hashechita b'neshimato. When he shechs the animal, the trachea is then exposed. As the animal is still breathing or the lungs are still pumping, it draws blood through the consobili bo and brings it into the heart. This is similar to what we've seen throughout Masechet Chulin, that there's a belief that the circulatory and the respiratory systems were connected, and therefore if the animal is pulling in or breathing in air with blood in it because of the cutting of the Beit HaShechita, that blood somehow, if it went through the lungs, would end up in the heart. That's what it sounds like from Rashi. But you could explain it even without that, which is the Beit HaShechita is the place where the life force is leaving. That's where that blood is. And you also just cut the major arteries of the body, and that's where the blood is pumping out. but there is some recoil or some blood that moves back or flows back into the heart. And therefore, maybe there would be blood that's left over from that Beit HaShechita, which is Dam HaNefesh. But that's how you end up with Dam HaNefesh inside of the heart. That's the girsa that we have. Just know that the Rif has just the opposite girsa, and that his girsa is reversed. That the Dam that flows through the heart is not considered to be Dam HaNefesh, whereas the Dam that's found in the heart, in the muscle of the heart, that is Dam Karet. So he has the exact opposite girsa. And actually, their girsa is not Mishraf Sharif, but rather Matzrif, which means that the blood pools over there at the time that the Nishama is Yotzei, but that is not blood of Nefesh, that's Dam Evarim that is pooling over there. And it's only the blood that is on a regular basis found in the muscle of the heart that is considered to be Dam HaNefesh. And the Rambam, the Halacha, follows this view of the Baal Halacha Gedolot and the Rif based on their girsa. Most of the Rishonim have the girsa that we have. Although there are those that want to suggest that the Rambam really has three types of Dam. There's Dam that comes into the lave at the time of Shechita, which is only a Chiyuv Lav. There's blood that is normally or was there before the Shechita happened. That blood is subject to karet. And then there's Dam that's in the heart itself, in the muscle of the heart, which is Dam Evarim, which is only a Chiyuv Lav. So in that way, they narrow the scope of the machloket over here. The Dam that's Chayav Karet is just Dam that was in the receptacles of the heart prior to the Shechita, as opposed to blood that came there after the Shechita. And Dam Abasar, the Dam Evarim, is always just a Chiyuv Lav. Dam Shenishama Yotzeo Bo Chayavin Alav. Blood which the life force exits, that's what you're Chayav for. In the Mishnah, the Baal Tosafot said that qualifies everything in the Mishnah. But in the Mishnah, it's written particularly on Dam HaKazah, on the blood that is being let out of the body. And over there, we're wondering, Eimar, Ezu Dam HaKazah, Shenishama Tluya Bo. What exactly is the blood of the bloodletting process that has the life force in it? If one was to do a bloodletting, the blood will flow out over time. Where is that threshold, or where is the point at which we're hitting the life force blood, and it's not simply the blood of a wound? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kozman Shemekaleach, as long as it is spurting out, from the point that it turns black and onward. So here, in the Shita Mekubetzet Ot Yud, he gives a description of the process. It's slightly varied from Rashi's description over here. That does have an afkamina. He says, Kachi ha-minhag b'tchila. This is the way that blood flows out of the body. In the beginning, shotet bashchara. It drips out, but it is dark or black, which means it's non-oxygenated blood. V'achar kach shotet adom. And then afterwards, it starts to drip out reddish, which means that it's oxygenated blood. V'achar kach mikaleach lemerachok. Then it starts to spurt out at that point. V'achar kach, and then after the spurting, shotet ba'adama, and then it starts to drip again with redness, which is, again, oxygenated blood. V'achar kozeh ba'adam ha'tamsit. And after all that, it turns dark again, which means that the blood is no longer oxygenated, and then it's dark black blood, and that's dam ha'tamsit, which we'll get to shortly in the Gemara. According to the Shita Mekubetzet, there are actually five stages of the blood flow out of the body. It is dark, red, spurting, red, and then dark. And all of them are dripping, aside from the middle one, which is the spurting. So now, according to that view, when Rabbi Yochanan says, when is it Shenishamat Vuyabo? That's the point of when it spurts out. Kiluach, that is considered to be the life force of the animal that is associated with Dam HaNefesh. Rish Lakish says, Mitipa Mashcheret Ve'elech, from the dark one and onwards. So now, the way that the Shita Mekubetzet just explained it is that you start out with dripping dark blood, then you have red blood, then you have spurting blood, and then you have red blood again dripping. According to Rish Lakish, from the Tipa Meshcheret, after you pass the dark blood in the beginning, that becomes life force blood. The red blood is considered to be life force blood. That means the dripping red blood before the spurting itself, and the dripping red blood after the spurting. That's considered to be the Dam HaNefesh, the life force of the animal. The Rashi over here gives a similar explanation to the Shita Mekubetzet, just he doesn't have, at the end, two different types of blood. At the end, he just has dripping blood after the spurting. And then those two bloods, blood afterwards, doesn't tell you if it's red or dark, but that blood afterwards already is considered to be Dam HaTamsit. On the other hand, Rashi in Chulin has dark blood or dripping blood afterwards, and he learns in Chulin that Reish Lakish's position is not that all the red blood, meaning the dripping red blood before the spurting and the dripping red blood afterwards is considered to be the life force, which is what the Shita Mekubetet over here says, and Rashi similarly seems to indicate what Reish Lakish is saying. In the Gemara in Chulin, he has the dark blood afterwards, and he says, Mitipa Mashkaret onwards, means after the spurting. According to Reish Lakish, spurting is not Dama Nefesh. It's only post the spurting that it becomes Dama Nefesh, and that's a big Kiddush, and Tosafot argues on Rashi in Chulin with regards to that. But when we pass the Nalocha, the Ramas Koshesh for that Shita of Rashi there, that Dama Nefesh is not just the spurting blood, but even the dark blood afterwards would be classified as Dama Nefesh, which has implications, of course, in terms of a Chiyuv Karet that is associated with eating of Dam. And we have an afkamina as to which Dam needs Kitsui Adam, because only Dama Nefesh requires Kitsui Adam. So now, Meitave, Ezu Dam HaKazash Nishama Yotzabo. Now we quote a Braita. What is this blood dripping out, letting, that ends up with the life force coming out? Kozman shemikaleach. So that sounds like anytime it's spurting, it has a din of a life force. Yatsa dama tamtzit, that comes to exclude dama tamtzit, mibnei shehu shotet, because it drips. So now, my love, afilu rishon v'acharon deshotet, hu kedama tamtzit dami. It would sound like from here that you have two types of blood. You have spurting blood and dripping blood. Spurting blood is considered to be dama nefesh. Dripping blood is considered to be dam hatamtzit. But if you take that to its end, then we saw there was dripping blood before the spurting, dripping blood after the spurting. From here, it would sound like the dripping blood is not Dama Nefesh, only Dama Tamsit. That would be problematic for Reish Lakish. And that's what the Gemara says, to Yufta the Reish Lakish, that's a strong refutation of Reish Lakish's position. It says, no, Nemute Dam Hamashchir. Dama Nefesh of Mikaleach is coming to tell you that only Mikaleach is subject to Din of Dama Nefesh, but what's the but? Until now, we thought it means anything that's dripping is considered to be blood that's not life force, and that would be supportive of Rabbi Yochanan and a problem for Reish Lakish. Now the Gemara says, no, we're differentiating in color rather than in the force by which it's being expelled from the animal. Because now Mikaleach is coming out to tell you that anything that drips is not considered to be Dama Nefesh. Mikaleach is coming to tell you anything that's red is considered to be Dama Nefesh. Anything that's black is considered to be Dam Ha Tamtzit. So that's what it means here. The mutei dam hamashchir, dam rishon v'acharon, but the blood before the spurting and right after the spurting that is red, avagav du shotet, even though it drips, ainu dam hanefesh. It's still classified as dam hanefesh. This seems to be supportive of the Shita Mekubetzet's view that there is dripping blood that is red both before and after the mikaleach, the spurting blood, and that's what Reish Lakish is adding in terms of what is considered to be the life force over here. Meitave. Ezeu dama nefesh kozman shemikaleach. As long as it is spurting, yatsa rishon v'acharon b'pnei shehu shotet, comes to exclude the blood before and afterwards because it is dripping. Now you don't have a choice anymore. Here the Braita states it explicitly that mikaleach is as opposed to dripping. Once you do that, then that makes it a tiyufte d'Reish Lakish. That is a strong refutation of Reish Lakish's position. Because Reish Lakish's whole point is that it's not just the Dama Mikaleach that is Dama Nefesh, but even the blood before and afterwards that's red is also considered to be Dama Nefesh. So Amar Lacha, Reish Lakish will respond to you, Tenayei, it's a Machloket Tanaim. The Tanya Izu Dama Nefesh, what's classified as Dama Nefesh? Kozman Shemikaleach Tivei Rabbi. Rabbi says that, like Rabbi Yochanan, it has to do with the blood spreading out. So this Braita that we just quoted is going to be the Shita of Rabbi, who says Mikaleach is Dama Nefesh. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon Omer Mitipa Mashcheret Velech. Just like Reish Lakish, he says from the darkened blood and onwards. Again, here we're reading it as meaning that from after the first drips that are dark, that start to become red, that's when Dama Nefesh enters in. That means the red drip, they spurt, and then the red drip afterwards. All of that is considered to be Dama Nefesh, and that's what Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says, and that's what Reish Lakish is going to say. I follow the position of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. The Braita that you brought down that seemed to undermine my position are all authored by Rabbi, and therefore they're not a question on me because I have another Tana that supports my contention. And as we noted before, Tosfot says that this Hashem Neshamat Luyabo modifies everything in the Mishnah, And therefore, he says the same requirements that we have here with regards to Dama Kaza will apply to Dama Shrita. And therefore, only the spurting blood, according to Rabbi Yochanan, will have Dama Nefesh in it. And Rish Lakish will add on the red blood before and after that is dripping out. On the other hand, the Rambam believes that Penishamat Guyaba only modifies Dama Kaza, does not modify Dama Shrita. And therefore, he believes, according to everyone, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, by Dama Shrita, as long as the blood is red, that is considered to be Dama Shanishama Yotzluyabo, and all of that will be considered Dama Nefesh, and the two are not the same. The din of Dama Kaza is different than the din of Dam Ashkita. Tana the Beit Rabbi Shmuel. The Beit Midrash of Rabbi Shmuel, the Bright of Rabbi Shmuel, says, the Dam Chalalim Yishteh, that you will drink the blood of the corpses, Prat the Dam Kiluach. That comes to tell you to the exclusion of Dam Kiluach. She'enu machshir et ezraim, because that doesn't create priming. That's not one of the liquids that would be machshir ezraim. So here we're actually dealing with two different issues. One issue is dama nefesh, the life force blood. That's subject to a chiyuv karet. And now we're dealing with another issue, which is dam is one of the seven mashkim that can prime, that can be machshir something, the kabel tuma. What part of the blood is subject to this hakshara? So what the Gemara seems to say over here is that they are mutually exclusive, which is that if it is dama nefesh, then it's not dam chalalim. Or if it's dam chalalim, it's not dama nefesh. Dama nefesh is an isur karet, and you cannot eat it. The other dam might have an isur lav associated with it, but doesn't have a karet. With regards to heksher, the kabel tuma, life force blood is not makshir, the kabel tuma, because the fact that dam is called a liquid comes from this pasuk. The pasuk in Parshat Balak that says dam chalalim yishteh, that you will drink the blood of corpses, which indicates that they have to be mate. They have to already be dead in order for the blood that comes out of there to be deemed dam yishteh, a liquid that is makshir the kabel tuma. So that means that dama nefesh is subject to karet, dama tamtzit, that which is not dama nefesh, is qualified to be makshir the kabel tuma. Where Rashi and Chulin says that Dam Chalalim is Dama Nefesh. If that's the case, that would then parallel Rashi's view of Reish Lakish in the Gemara in Chulin, which is that Mitibar Mashcheret Ve'elech means post Kiluach, and then Dam Chalalim would be Dama Nefesh, and Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel over here would be holding of the Shita of Reish Lakish. Those would over here note that the Pasuk of Dam Chalalim Yishteh is written by human beings. And the Dama Nefesh that we've been speaking about until now was with regards to a behema, with animals. So Tosafot points out, Gabe Adamu behema, ein dinam shaveh. They do not have the same din. The Gabe Adam, by human beings, Dam Shalachar Yitziat Nishama Makshir. Only Dam Chalalim Yishteh is Makshir. Avalo Otoshi Yesheh Bishat Yitziat Nishama. As opposed to the Dam, it comes out at the point of the life force leaving. Begabe behema, dam shalachar yitziat neshama, enu makshir. By an animal, it is just the opposite. That blood that comes out at the time after the life force has left, that blood is not makshir at all. But the blood that is makshir is the life force blood. And that is because the fact that we know that dam is considered to be a liquid comes from two psukim. One is the dam chalalim yishteh. The other one is, ala aretz tishpachenu kamayim. That when it comes to the shechita of an animal, you will drop it on the ground, you'll let it flow on the ground like water. And that's how we know that dam behema does not require kisui adam, as opposed to dam chaya and oaf that do require kisui adam. Because over there it says, ala aretz tishpachenu kamayim. You will let it flow onto the ground like water. So the Gemara learns from that, well, it's like water. So just like water is makshir, so too is dam. But the dam we're speaking about there is dam ha shchita, dam ha nefesh, because that's the blood that you have to do kisui adam with. And that's what the Torah is telling you by behema, you don't need to do kisui hadam. So what you see according to the Baal Tosafot is that it's just the opposite by behema, that it is by adam. By adam we learn the blood is makshir from dam chalalim yishteh. That only once it's a corpse, is it then able to create dam that is makshir. Before that, it's dama nefesh, but it's not able to be makshir things. By behema, the dama nefesh is the dam that we call a liquid, al aretz tishpachenu kamayim, and therefore that blood is makshir. Post the time that you have dama nefesh, dama tamtzit is no longer makshir by an animal. So it turned out to be, it's just the opposite by animals as it is by human beings, as to which blood is makshir. By human beings, it's only dama tamtzit. By animals, it's only dama nefesh, the way that the Balei HaTosfot are learning over here. Bamine Rabbi Yirmiyami Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yirmiyah queried of Rabbi Zera, Kiz dam lebeima. The person was bloodletting of an animal to the point where the animal dies from that. And then he had two receptacles there and had the blood flow into the two receptacles. Mahu, what is the din here? So now the way that Rashi and the Balei HaTosafot set up the case is that the blood that came out of the animal in the first cup was capturing the dam hakiluach, and the second cup captured the blood that was after the dam hakiluach. So then, this would be basically the machloket Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and that's why it's brought over here. Mau, al rishon diriyakol chayav. On the first one, everybody says you are chayav because that's dam kiluach, dam nefesh. Al acharon mi mechayev. On the second one, are you chayav? Oh no, or maybe not. Amalei plukta the Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. It's the machloket of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Deitmar, hikiz dam the beima, kibel dama b'shnei kosot. You're chayav two chatot, because both dam hakiluach and the red blood afterwards that flows out, drips out, are both considered to be dam nefesh, and therefore you're chayav a chatat for each one of them, assuming that there were two halamot over here. Yochanan says you only chayav one, because only dam kiluach is considered to be dam nefesh. Dam that's shoteit afterwards is not dam nefesh. That's the way Rashi and the Balei HaTosafot read this Gemara. On the other hand, if you look in the Rabbeinu Gershom, he explains the Gemara differently and says that the first cup has just dam kiluach in it. The second cup has dam kiluach mixed together with the dam shtita. And so the first cup, for sure, you're chayav achatat because that is dam kiluach solely. The second cup has dam shtita mixed in with it, and that's the question that they're dealing with over here. Is dam shtita that's mixed together with dam kiluach, does that still have a status of dam nefesh, nefesh yotzaba? And therefore, do you bring a chatat or not? And Reish Lakish says in the affirmative, yes. Rabbi Yochanan says no. That's the way the Rabbeinu Gershom explains it. The Rambam actually gives a third way to explain it, which is that the case here is behelam achat. You did it in one forgetting. And the question is, are the two kosot considered to be gufim mechulakim, meaning separate enough, that then it requires you to bring two chatot? Or is it considered to be one entity? And that's what Rabbi Yochanan says, one chatat, it's all one entity. Reish Lakish says that the kosot make it into two separate violations, even though it's one halama, so therefore you have to bring two chatot. There are three different ways to learn this Gemara. The Rashi and Tosafot just say that it's following through on the Gemara. It's the same machloker of Yochanan and Reish Lakish that we saw before. It's just being brought over here in the context of the Braita and brought in a machloker about the kosot. But again, it's about dam kiluach versus dam shtita as to what is considered dam nefesh. Whereas for the Rabbeinu Gershom and the Rambam, this is a new topic, totally. And Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish's machloket over here has nothing to do with their machloket with regards to dama nefesh. It's a different machloket, according to the Rambam, about whether kosot are enough to be mechalek chato'ot, or according to the Rabbeinu Gershom, when you have tarobet of dama nefesh and something else, what is the status of that blood? And now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev b'dama tamtzit. Rabbi Yehuda is mechayev by dama tamtzit. In the Mishnah, he says you're chayev karet, even for dama tamtzit, which is, again, the blood at the end that's dripping out from the word mitzui, which means to squeeze out, or the stuff that's drawn out at the end. So we've seen this Rabbi Yehuda before. Some Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar says about Rabbi Yehuda, Modi Rabbi Yehuda linyan kapara, that with regards to kapara, dama tamtzit does not work. Shneamar ki hadam huba nefesh yichaper, that only dam nefesh can be used for kapara on mizbeach. Dam she nefesh yotzabo mechaper. Life force blood provides kapara when that's put on the mizbeach. Sheina nefesh yotzabo eno mechaper. If it's not life force blood, it doesn't provide kapara on the mizbeach. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, avana namitanina. We have a Tanaic position that corroborates what Rabbi Elazar is saying about Rabbi Yehuda's position. That is the Tanya. Dam matamagomar kol dam. The pasuk in Achrimot, when it deals with the restriction of eating blood, over there it says, ish ish mi beit yisrael min hager agar betocham asher yuchal kol dam. Datati fanai benefesh ochelet et adam v'chirati oto mikerev ama. The reason being, ki nefesh basar badam hi, that's the life force of the animal is in the blood, v'ani nitativ lachem al mizbeach. And I gave that to you to be put on mizbeach lechaper on nafshoteichem, to provide you atonement. You see clearly that the Dama Nefesh is what's used for kapara, and what Rabbi Elazar said is that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Dama Nefesh can be used, or is the only thing can be used in kapara. Dama Tamsit is not considered to be Dama Nefesh, so the Dama Tamsit, he agrees, is not Dama Nefesh, yet it's still Chayav Karet. So where does he get the Chayav Karet if he thinks that Dama Nefesh is the only thing that's Mechaper, and the Karet is written by the Dama Nefesh? So the answer to that is the fact that Fishne Marati Adam Huba Nefesh Mechaper, the puzzle that we just read, that blood is the life force of the animal, that provides atonement. I only know now that there's a chiyuv karet for blood that has life force in it, which could be used for kapara, and instead you ate that blood, you consumed that blood, that's when you're chayav karet. Dam chulin, dam that's not hektesh, or dam atamsit, that's dam that's not dam anefesh, minayin. How do I know that's also subject to a chiyuv karet? Tamalomar, kol dam. So Rabbi Yehuda learns it out of the word kol, meaning that the word dam by itself would have meant just dam nefesh, because that's the context of psukim over there. Ki adam hu nefesh yichaper. So the meaning of dam in those psukim means dam nefesh, and Rabbi Yehuda agrees to that. Just that kol is a ribuy that adds on not only dam nefesh, but kol dam. All dam is restricted. So you see there that he agrees fundamentally that dam nefesh is what's michaper, and that's the only thing you can use on mizbeach. The reason he includes dam tamsit is because of the ribuy of kol dam. And the brayta that we just quoted is a sifra, midrash halacha in Vayikra, and stam sifra, mani, who's the author of the generic sifra, the Torah Kohanim, the midrash halacha in Vayikra, Rabbi Yehuda. And you see, even though it's Rabbi Yehuda, he says that dama nefesh is the only thing he used for kapara, and it's through the word kol that we include dama tamsit for the chiyuv karet, but not to say that that will provide you kapara or atonement on the mizbeach. Right, next Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva Mechayev, Asafek Mi'ila Asham Talui. We saw Rabbi Akiva quoted earlier in the Gemara that Rabbi Akiva believes that you bring an Asham Talui, not just on a Safek Chatat, but even on a Safek Asham Mi'ilot. So if you have a doubt as to whether you were Moel in Hekdesh, you bring an Asham Talui according to Rabbi Akiva. Chamim Potrim, the Chamim say that that's not the case, and we'll see in the Gemara, that they think it's only associated with a chatat, not with a asham. Umode Rabbi Kiva, Sheinu mevi et milato, achit vadalo, shevi imo asham vadai. So Rabbi Kiva agrees that you don't pay back hekdesh until you know for certain that you violated mi'ilah. Mi'ilah is misappropriation of hekdesh. It's you getting hana'ah from hekdesh when you shouldn't have gotten hana'ah from hekdesh. When you do get hana'ah from hekdesh, you have to bring an asham mi'ilot, which is a korban. You also have to pay back a keren v'chomesh. You have to pay back the money or the benefit you got from Hekdesh, plus a fifth on top of that. So what Rabbi Akiva is noting over here is that you bring the korban, you don't bring the money. The korban you can bring because it's an asham taloi, it's an asham for a safek. As far as the mamon is concerned, it's a sfeka de mamona. And in sfeka de mamona, we're not going to compel you to bring the money or pay back Hekdesh until we're certain that you violated misappropriating Hekdesh. And only when you bring the Hashem Vadai, then you bring the payment. If you're just bringing the Hashem Taloi, you don't have to make the payment then. Amar Rabbi Tarfo, Malazeh Mevish Te Hashemot. Why is this individual bringing two Hashemot? Elevei Me'ilah V'chomsha. He brings the money to pay it back. V'yavi Hashem B'shnei Slaim. And he brings an Hashem that's worth two Sela. I mean, that's the minimum price of an Hashem that can be brought here with regards to an Hashem Me'ilot and Hashem Taloi. V'yomar. And then he'll say, Invadai ma'alti, if I for certain misappropriated hekdesh, zumi lati, now I'm paying back the money that I owe plus the chomesh, the zo ashami, this is my asham, meaning this is my asham vadai, asham milot. Vim safek ma'alti, if it's uncertain or it's not the case that I was mo'el, hama'ot nidava, then the monies are a donation to the mikdash, asham taloi, and then this will be an asham taloi. Interesting, and the Gemara will ask this, which is that the Tanai doesn't deal with two options that are equal. They're not binary. The way that you would have said is, if I was Moel, that this is my Hashem Vadai, and this is my payment of the Mi'ilah. If I wasn't Moel, then this is a donation to the Mikdash, and I'm bringing Hashem Taloi based on the fact that we have Shitot that believe you can bring an Hashem Taloi, Vinidava. That's not what he says. He says the two options are either Vadai, I need to bring an asham, or safek, I need to bring an asham. So that means that he leaves the other side as being a safek, not as being a vadai. So it's two options, either a vadai or a safek, which is a little interesting because if it's binary, the safek comes up because of the binary options. Either I did or I didn't. Therefore, the option should be I did or I didn't, not I did or I'm safek. So that's interesting in terms of the Tanai. We'll deal with that a little more in the Gemara. So the way that Rabbi Tarfon is suggesting to Rabbi Akiva over here is why bring two Hashemot, meaning Hashem Taloi, and then later in Hashem Vadai, handle it all in one shot. That's because Shemimin Shumevi Al Hoda, from the type that you bring, meaning the Hashem that you bring for Hoda, Vadai, when you knew for sure you did Me'ilah, Mevi Al Hoda, is the same exact animal, the same exact Hashem that you bring for an Hashem Taloi. And Hashem Me'ilot and Hashem Taloi have the exact same animal, Korban, that you have to bring. It's a ayo that has to be brought for both of them, and it has to be worth, we're going to see, two selah. So it's the exact same animal. If that's the case, why bring two Korbanot when you can bring one Korban? Now, the question is, how fundamentally does Rabbi Tarfon argue on Rabbi Akiva? Is Rabbi Tarfon just simply saying it's inefficient to bring two Hashemot, so why not just do it this way? It's the most efficient way. It saves the individual money because he has to bring one Hashem now. That could be one way to understand Rabbi Tarfon. Or it could be that he does argue with Rabbi Akiva, but he believes you need to bring the payment in order for the Hashem Taloi to be effective. And therefore, once you're doing that, you may as well also make a tenai that this could possibly be an Hashem Vadai. Or the other way to understand Rabbi Tarfon might be that he disagrees completely. He thinks it's asur to bring two Hashemot when you have the possibility of bringing one Hashem, because there's a possibility of Chulin Vazara. Why take the risk of Chulin Vazara when you can bring one Hashem and make it tenai rather than bringing Hashem Taloi and then Hashem Vadai, because you have risk involved in bringing extra Korbanot. So that could be the Machloket, where he's more fundamentally arguing on Rabbi Akiva that this is a better solution because you can't bring two. You have to bring one. Or it might be that Rabbi Tarfon believes you can't do this at all, which is Rabbi Tarfon thinks that you can't bring an Hashem either without the monies that you pay, or you can't bring an Hashem unless you know for certain that you are violated. There is no Hashem Taloi. And here he's speaking Bishitat Rabbi Akiva. He goes, look, I think that you can't bring an Hashem Taloi at all. But you who thinks you can bring an Hashem Taloi, why bring an Hashem Taloi when you could just bring one Hashem and do a Tanai on it? So those are three different ways to explain Rabbi Tarfon's argument on Rabbi Akiva over here. So Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva responds to him and says, Nirin Dvarav B'Me'ilah Me'uta. His suggestion makes sense when the misappropriation of Hekdesh, the Anah from Hekdesh, is a small amount. Harei Shiavoli Ado Safek Me'ilah B'Me'amaneh. If on the other hand, he has a safek mi'ilah that involves 100 maneh, which would be 100 times 100 or 10,000 zuz, lo yafelo shiavi asham b'shtei slaim, v'lo yavig safek mi'ilah b'me'a maneh, isn't it better for him to bring an asham taloi to hold him over, which only costs 2 selah, rather than have to pay up 10,000 zuz mi safek, which could turn out that he didn't need to pay it, and it's all in a dava now, versus having the obligation to pay it if he did misappropriate ekdesh. Over there, it's not worth it for him to put up the money up front. He'd rather use the Hashem Taloi until he's certain that he needs to pay this money. But I do agree with you that if the amount that he has to pay is small, de minimis, it makes sense then to do this suggestion of Rabbi Tarfon to make the Tanai, because then you can take care of it up front, because you're going to have to buy two animals. So first of all, you're already out to sell them more, so if the amount of Me'ilah is smaller, it pays to pay it off now. Bring your Hashem, and you see from Rabbi Akiva, in order to bring your Hashem Vadai, you need to pay back the monies. If you don't pay back the monies, you can't bring it. Because otherwise, Rabbi Akiva could just say, all right, do the Tanai, bring the Hashem Taloi and the Hashem Vadai Tanai, and then you'll bring the money later when you find out. He doesn't allow you to do it. He says, if you're going to bring in a Tanai, you must bring the money now. That shows you that the payment or repayment is essential or prerequisite to bring in Hashem Me'ilot. But Rabbi Akiva says is that when it's a small amount of money, then the option to just bring one animal, one korban, and be done with it makes sense, because I'll either give the money and be repaying the misappropriation, the mi'ilah, or it'll be in the dava, no big deal. But if you're dealing with large sums of money, people are not going to want to donate that money to the mikdash if they don't really have to pay it back, if they weren't really moel in hekdesh. Therefore, I disagree with you when it is a larger sum of money that is at risk or at question over here. Right, so now the Gemara says, Tarabanan, Ve'im Nefesh. The psukim that are found in Vayikra Hei with regards to an Hashem Mi'ila and an Hashem Talui. They are actually adjacent parshiot. It says, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Emor, Nefesh ki tumo mal, v'chata b'shkaga min kodshei Hashem. V'yirat Hashem ol Hashem, ayol tamim min atzon, v'erkacha kesem shkalim, v'shekel kodesh l'Hashem. That is the Hashem Mi'ilot, which is brought when you're mo'el, b'kodshei Hashem. And over there you have to bring an ayol, which is what we said in Hashem ayol, that has to be worth be'erkacha kesem shkalim, a minimum of 2 shekel. V'yirat Hashem chata min kodesh shkalim, that which you misappropriated, got to know, you have to pay back. Vit et chamishito, you say falav. And then you have to add on a 5th on top of that. You give it to the Kohen, and then you give the money to the Kohen, and then the Kohen brings the kapara of the El Hasham for you. Next parshia is, im nefesh ki techeta, vasta chat mikol mitzvot Hashem, shlo teasena, but yada, he doesn't know about it, vashem, nasa avono. That's the Hasham talui. So right after the parshat Ne'ilah, it says, vi'im nefesh. Right afterwards. And that's what the Brit is saying. Vim nefesh, the chayev al safik mi'ilot, Hashem taloi. To tell you that you bring an Hashem taloi on the safik Hashem mi'ilot. Divei Rabbi Akiva. That's what gives you. Chamim potrim, the chamim disagree. Now, the Brit never tells you what exactly it is that Rabbi Akiva is learning that tells him that information. It just quotes you the pasuk. That's the first pasuk in Hashem taloi right after the parshia of mi'ilah. The Gemara says, Lema Bahaka Miflege. Let's say their machloket is the following. The Rebbe Akiva Savar, Lemeidim Elyon Mitachton. Rebbe Akiva says, you learn the upper parsha from the lower parsha. The upper parsha being Hashem Mi'ilot, from the lower parsha, which is Hashem Taloi. So I'll learn from Hashem Taloi up, meaning up means back in time, back towards the parsha beforehand. And that'll tell me that there is an Hashem Taloi for Hashem Mi'ilot. Rabbanan Sabre ain lemeidim elyon mitachton. They believe that you can't learn in that manner. You can learn sequentially, which means forward from one parsha to the next parsha. What you can't do is learn from the lower parsha, the later parsha, to the earlier parsha. Rav Papa says no. The kuliyama lemeidim elyon mitachton. You can't say that. Everybody agrees that you learn the elyon mitachton. The imkain, because if you don't do that, tzafon b'ben bakar lo mishkachadahu. Then you won't know by a ben bakar that the shechita has to be b'tzafon. This is a reference to in Vayikra Aleph when it deals with the olot. Over there we have different possible options to bring an olah. There's an olat ha'of, which is not relevant here. There's olat ha'tzon, which could come from a keves or an eis. And then there's olat ha'bakar. Over there by the olat ha'tzon, the Torah specifies that you have to do the shechita b'tzafon. By the bakar, it does not mention the fact that you need to do it b'tzafon. So how do I know that by an olah that comes from bakar, you have to do the shechita, it's a phone? That's learned out from the lower parsha, meaning tzon, to the upper parsha, which is ben habakar. Because the first parsha is im olah korbano min habakar. So that's the first parsha. And there it says, v'shachat et ben habakar lifnei Hashem, never mentioned tzafon. Later on, when it says, v'im min hatzon korbano, min hakvasim o min haizim, then it says, v'shachatoto yerach mizbeach tzafona. So there you have the issue of tzafon mentioned. How do I get the tzafon from there to the tzafon of bakar? That's because v'im min hatzon, there's a vavach hibur, and that teaches us that the parshiot are connected, and from there we learn from the lower parsha, I mean the later parsha, to the earlier parsha. And everybody agrees that we learn it that way. So that shows you that the chachamim have to agree with Rabbi Akiva, otherwise they're not going to have tzafon as a requirement when you bring an olah from a bakar, and nobody says that. So it's clear that everybody agrees there you learn the upper parsha, the first parsha from the later parsha, and if that's the case, so too over here, so that can't be their machloket. Ella, hachai no time in the rabbonon, the reason the rabbonon are patre, the gemire, mitzvot, mechatat. They learn out a gzeres shova of mitzvot from the chatat. Over here it says, Im nefesh ki techeta vasta achat mikom mitzvot Hashem asher lo tasena lo yada v'Hashem v'nasa avono. That's as far as it Hashem taloi. There it says mitzvot, and then by the chatat hayachid it says im nefesh achat techeta bishkaga me'amaretz basota achat mi mitzvot Hashem asher lo tasena v'Hashem. So there you see the word mitzvot is used. So there's a correlation. Malalan, just like over there. Tavarsh chayavin al zdono karet v'al shikagato chatat, and therefore sfeiko Hashem talui, only in situations in which If you violated it intentionally, you'd be chayav karet. If you violated it unintentionally, you'd be chayav chatat. Then you're subject to the parshia of Hashem Taloi from that gezeirah shava. Af kol, so too, anything shechavinos don't know karet. Val shigrato chatat, val sveko Hashem Taloi. Bafuke, that comes to exclude, me'ilah, tein chavinos don't know karet. Because if you violate intentionally mi'ilah, you're not going to be chayav karet, so it's not subject to the same rules as the chatat ha'yechid that's mentioned before. That's the view of the chachamim. They have a gzeirah shava that tells them not to learn elyon mitachton, that the Hashem ilot is subject to Hashem taloi because they are juxtaposed with the vavah chibur. But they have a gzeirah shava that tells us otherwise, that mitzvot mitzvot, only things that are connected to a chatat and chiyuv karet, are subject to an Hashem taloi. The Tanya, hezid b'mi'ilah, if one intentionally violates mi'ilah, Rabbi Omer b'mita, Rabbi says you have mita b'day shamayim for that, chamim omrim b'azara, it's a law, it's not a chiyuv karet, and therefore, Hashem mi'ilot is not going to be subject to an Hashem taloi when you have a safek about it. Rabbi Akiva savar, ki afinun mitzvot mitzvot, mechatat chelev. When we have the mitzvot mitzvot, that's from chatat chelev, the hachi u'de afinun. Malalan bikvua, afkan bikvua. So it's learned from chatat chelev. Chatat chelev means a generic chatat, a chatat ha-yachid. The reason it's called a chatat chelev, Rashi says, is because the Isur of chelev and dam is mentioned right there by the parshia of chatat. And because the Torah connects between them, Chazal called every generic chatat a chatat chelev. That's one way to say it. The Rosh bring another reason, which is that chatat chelev is the most common chatat that comes because it's the most common violation that people would do unintentionally. Therefore, a generic chatat is called a chatat chelev. So Rabbi Akiva says the Gezeirah Shava is going to teach you that the chatat is a chatat kavua. It's a chatat that has only one possible korban, and therefore Hashem mi'ilot is only brought when you have a korban that b'shogeg would have ended up being a chatat kavua. That comes to exclude the case of korbanot ole v'yoreid. And that's what he says here. Malalan v'kvua, avkan v'kvua, afuke ola v'yoreid, delo. A korban that changes based on your economic ability to pay, that won't be subject to an Hashem taloi. So what Rabbi Akiva says, the Gezeirah Shava teaches you, is that the chatat ha-yachid, which is a fixed level chatat for everyone, that's subject to an Hashem taloi. So too, Hashem Mi'ilot, which is a fixed korban, will be subject to Hashem Taloi because of the juxtaposition and the Vava Chibur of the Parshiot, whereas the Chatat Olevi Yoreid, which are found right before the Hashem Mi'ilot over there, that's for Tumat Mikdash V'Kodoshav, Shvat Bitoy, and Shvat Aidut, all those are Korbanot Olevi Yoreid, they won't be subject to an Hashem Taloi. Rabbanan Tzavrei, and Gzeret Shavu Damechsa. You can't pick and choose that which you want to bring through the Gezeirah Shava. You can't say, oh, just the Kavua part we're going to bring, not the fact that it's a Chiyuv Karet and a Chatat B'Shogeg, that we're not going to bring. So they think that you can't do that. You can't break up the Gezeirah Shava. And Gezeirah Shava the Mechsa, meaning that you got to learn all the dinim from the source to the recipient in the Gezeirah Shava. There is some question as to whether it's also bidirectional. When you have a Gezeirah Shava, do you need to learn all the dinim back and forth? There are cases, which we'll see here too, where there are mitigating forces or circumstances that tell you that despite the Gezeirah Shava, we don't apply it or we won't use the whole Gezeirah Shava because there's either logic, hekesh, something else that's telling you that you have to somehow mitigate or limit the scope of the Gezeirah Shava. Michlal, the Rabbi Kiva, sorry, yesh Gezeirah Shava Mechsa? So you're suggesting now you think Rabbi Kiva thinks you can break up a Gezeirah Shava and say I only learned it part way? Ella, the Kuliyama in Gezeirah Shava Mechsa. Everybody agrees there's no such thing as a Gezeirah Shava halfway or half-hearted. Elohainu daimed Rabbi Kiva. So then what's the reasoning of Rabbi Kiva? Makra v'im nefesh. The vav is vav mosif alinyan rishon. That's the vav achibur v'yilameid el yom mitachton. And that is a bidirectional limud. Just like the Hashem Taloi is going to learn from the Hashem Mi'ilot, which we're going to see in a second, the fact that it has to have a cost up to shekel, which is mentioned by the Hashem Mi'ilot, not mentioned by the Hashem Taloi. Just like we learn in that direction, we're also learn in the other direction. Just like an Hashem Taloi is brought on a safek of a chatat, it'll also be brought on a safek of an Hashem Mi'ilot. As Rashi says over here, Hilka kal korchen hekesh lafuke migzer shabata. The hekesh has to come to do something, and therefore it's coming to limit the scope of the gzera shava. Because even though there is no gzeres of the mechza, over here the hekesha allows for that or creates a scenario where you would say that. Rabbanan Tzavrei Tachtonu, the Gemar Me'elyon, you can only learn in a unidirectional way, which is the latter parshia of Hashem Taloi is learned from Hashem Milot, Lasham Kesef Shkalim, to teach you that the minimum value of an Hashem must be 2 shekel by the Hashem Taloi, just like by the Masham Milot. Rabbi Kiva Savar, Eina Kesh Tamechsa. But Rabbi Kiva says you can't do that. If you have a Hekesh, Levava Chibor, it's bidirectional. It means both ways. You can't just pick and choose which way it goes or what you want to learn. Michlal de Rabbanan Savar Yesh Hekesh Tamechsa. That implies that the Rabbanan do believe you can have a Hekesh Tamechsa. Vakaimalan de Eina Kesh Tamechsa. And we know there's no such concept as a Hekesh Tamechsa. Rabbi says no, the Kuliyama, Eina Hekesh Tamechsa. Everybody agrees. Now, Rashi takes out the Girsa of Eir, Rabbi Akiva Sover, Eina Hekesh Tamechsa. He takes that out because he believes that's not called the Hekesh Tamechsa. Hekesh Tamechsa would be in a unidirectional way, you're only taking some of the halachot. Just because you don't do it in a bidirectional way does not make it that it is considered to be a Hekesh Tamechsa. There, Rashi doesn't think it's a valid question of Eir and eliminates it from the Girsa to match the Gemara in Zvachim. V'achai no time in the Rabbonon. This is the reason of the Rabbanan, the Gemiri, mitzvot, afke mehekesha. You have a gzera shava, and you have a hekesh. And what the Rabbanan are saying is, when you have a gzera shava and a hekesh, the gzera shava is going to trump. And therefore, the gzera shava says, only learn the hekesh part way, not a full way. Part way means that we will learn the value of an asham from asham me'ilot to asham taloi. The other way, we will not learn. Asham taloi should be applicable to asham me'ilot. That we won't learn because you have a gzera shava of chatat. A mitzvot, from here to chatat, that tells you don't learn in that manner. Don't assume that an Hashem Tolui applies to any safek korban kavua, rather only applies to a chatat. The Chachamim over here believe that ein gzer shav lemechza trumps ein hekesh lemechza, and therefore we're going to learn the gzer shava completely, and then whatever is left over, the hekesh will pick up. But anything that's in soter, the gzer shava will trump in that case. And technically, Rabbi Akiva can see it the other way around, which is that in Hekesh the Mechza is more important than in Gzeres Shavah the Mechza. It takes the Gzeres Shavah to be used for something else or some other meaning so that it doesn't upend the Hekesh at all. And it will turn out that he does a Gzeres Shavah the Mechza and not a Hekesh the Mechza. Or in essence, what Rabbi Akiva is saying is, it's better to have a Gzeres Shavah the Mechza than to have a Hekesh the Mechza. Or the way that you can express it is that Rabbi Akiva fundamentally agrees that ein gzeres of the mechza trumps ein hekesh the mechza, but in this case, there's nothing left of the hekesh if you make it the mechza. That's because he believes the issue of monies is already settled through a different mechanism. The only thing left to learn is that the asham me'ilot is subject to an asham taloi. That's the only thing left from the hekesh. So if you were to say, we're going to keep the gzeres shava fully, that would mean that the hekesh has no meaning at all. You've wiped out all need for the hekesh. Therefore, since there is a hekesh, it must be valuable. That it must be that hekesh stands even in the face of ein gzeres shavah the mechza. And so in this instance, we're going to make an exception to the rule that ein gzeres shavah the mechza usually trumps ein hekesh the mechza. But over here, there's only one thing left for the hekesh, and therefore we have to say ein gzeres shavah the mechza in order to accommodate the hekesh having any meaning whatsoever. Rabbi Kiva, asham b'kesef shkalim minale. So where does he know it from? That he has to also know that Hashem Taloi has a minimum of 2 shkalim, and he can't do it from the hekesh because he uses the hekesh for the other information to teach you that an Hashem Taloi is applicable by Hashem Milot. Nafkale mizot Torat Hashem. He learns it out of the beginning of Tzav, where it says, this is the procedure for Hashemot, Torachat tochol Hashemot, which in the beginning of Nachot, Gemara there darshins all the zot Torah to tell you that there's a Torachat, but all of these items. That means all Hashemot are the same. Lasham de kesem shkalim. That teaches you that the value, which we know from the Korban Hashem Me'ilot, will be applicable to all Hashemot, that they will have that minimum value requirement. Now it can't be all Hashemot because some Hashemot come from an ayah, and some Hashemot come from a keves. For instance, Hashem Nazir and Hashem Mitzorah are kvatsim. The Gemara learns that with regards to an ayah, it's 2 shkalim, and that's 2 years old. A kevish is 1 year old, so on a proportional basis, the 1 year old, the kevish, should have to equal or have to have a minimum of a shekel. So the limud does have application broadly, but the fact that it's 2 shkalim only applies to shemot that are a lim, And therefore, Zotrat Hashem means all Hashemot and Re'ilim have this din. Fasim will have their proportional din in relationship to an ayo. Rabbanon, apagim d'stim Zotrat Hashem, itzrech l'michta v'im nefesh. You need both limudim. You need the limud from Zotrat Hashem. You also need v'im nefesh to tell you about Mosifa in Yom Rishon, that Hashem Tolu is learned from Hashem Milot, that you have to bring it a minimum of 2 kesef shkalim. Be'im zot Torat Hashem, because had you just had zot Torat Hashem, hava mina, well, I would have thought, ki amina torachat kol Hashemot. When do I say that? Hani mile b'shar Hashemot vadayin. That's when you're talking about an Hashem vaday. All Hashemot vadayim will have the same din. Aval Hashem Toloi, the kaven ala safek chelev kahati, since it comes because of a safek chelev, emeloy esfeko chamor mivadol. Why should the safek be more stringent or as problematic as the vadai? Ma vado. If you have done a violation and you know for certain you did this unintentional violation, you're shugay, and you have to bring a chatat, by a chatat, it's batanka. It can be any amount. There is no value minimum requirement by a chatat. So if he finds out for certain he violated something and he has got to bring a chatat, that chatat has no minimum amount of money that you have to pay for it. So now in Hashem Talui, where you bring it all as a fake, you should pay more for that? You should have a minimum standard for that? So Afeko, Hashem Badanka. And so I would have thought then, the Hashem Talui doesn't have a minimum amount, as opposed to all the Hashemot Vadayin. That's a Hachikadav Rachmana of Im Nefesh Vamosif Al-Inyan Rishon. That's why you need a limud here to take the Hekesh here to tell you, that Hashem Milot, where the source of Kesef Shkalim is in, now applies to Hashem Tolui as well. That's why the Chachamim say you need 2 limudim in order to do that. In the end, the maskana, it turns out, the safek is more expensive than the vadai. And that has to do, as the Rishonim say, with the mentality of an individual who violates something, the safek versus vadai, sif, and vadai. Someone knows they for certain did something, then they will take the proper remediation. They will do the proper kapara in order to rectify the situation. When a person only faces a safek, they're more likely to talk themselves out of it or justify their position that they don't need to do anything here. Therefore, the Torah is indicating that a safek needs more attention and more alacrity, and that's why it's saying that it has to be more expensive, so a person takes to heart the fact that there was a safek avera over here. Mar says, ha-necha l'manda darish zotarat ha-sham. That works well according to the one in the beginning of Menachot that darshans all of the Torah to tell you Torah chat l'chol Hashemot. El amad lo dorish zot Torah Hashem. What about the one who doesn't believe Torah Hashem comes to teach you that all Hashemot are equal? Ma'ika the Meimar. Then where is Rabbi Akiva going to get his source for the fact that an Hashem Taloi needs to be a minimum of Shtei Shkalim? Yalif be'erkecha be'erkecha me'Hashem me'ilah. He has a gzeira shava from the Hashem me'ilot to the Hashem Talui, and that is by the Hashem Mi'ilot, it says, you're going to bring him in atzom be'erkacha kesef shkalim. So that's the value must be kesef shkalim. By the Hashem Talui, it uses the term erkacha, but it never tells you what the erach is. It says, baby, I'll tamim in atzom be'erkacha la'asham. So what we're saying now is the gzer shabba, erkacha, erkacha, teaches you shtei shkalim. It says, that's great for the Hashem Mi'ilot. What about Hashem Shifcha Charufa? Shem Shifgura, it's found in Parshat Kiddushim, doesn't have any minimum value that it has to be brought from. Lo kata ba erkecha. And it doesn't say the word erkecha. Where are you going to learn it from? Yalfina and be ayo ayo. There's a gzer shava of ayo ayo to teach you, just like the ayo of the Hashem Mi'ilot is 2 shekel, so too the ayo of the Shifra Charufa is also a minimum of 2 shekel. And Hashem Zelot, which is also found over there, so it has both ayo and erkecha in it, and therefore you'll also learn that it has to be a minimum of 2 shkalim as well. So that's how we know that all the Hashemot have a din, that they have to have a minimum value of 2 shekel. Now the Gemara says, Mode Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva agrees to the position of Rabbi Tarfon. Vim safek maikamar. What does it mean? Im safek. I noted this in the Mishnah. Doesn't make sense when you're dealing with a binary issue. Safek means I have option yes, option no, and now I'm in a safek. Now, if you go to make a tanai, how can your tanai be if yes or if I'm a safek? The tanai should be im yes, im no. That's not the way they structured it in the Mishnah, and that's what the Gemara is asking over here. Vim safek, my kamar. What is he saying? He's saying, well, if I have to bring it vadai, then this is what it is. In Safek, then this is what it is. So Amar Rava, Tnei, Im Bisfeko, Omeid, Le'olam. He's not saying yes in Safek. He's saying yes if I need to bring it. Or no means if I remain in this status where I don't know forever, then this is what's going to happen. So in the end, it's not a quote of the person who is Bisfeik saying, if it's this, if it's that. It's rather Rabbi Tarfon describing the situation, which is saying, here, you can't deal with both sides of it, because if it's a Badai, this is what he would bring. If it's a Safek and he remains Bisfeik, oh, this is what he would need to do. And since those two are equal, he can create two sides that deal with both the Hashem Badai and the Hashem Talui. Yeah, Hashem Talui. That will be an Hashem Talui, because Shemin Vevi Alauda, Vevi O Al Shalauda, because it's the same Korban that you use to bring in Hashem Vadai, that's the same one that you bring to bring in Hashem Taloi. Sof, Kimitiadale, Baile Tuye Hashem Vadai. But then in the end, he's going to have to bring a Hashem Vadai because of the fact that if you bring it out as a fake now, it's an Hashem Taloi. That means later on, when you find out Vadai that you have to bring it, now you have to bring your Hashem Vadai. Amarovim, Yidivrei Shem Nilmad, Hashem Vadai, Lo Boi Yidia Lechatchila. From this you see that an Hashem is different than a Kurban Chatat. Because as we read before by the Chatat, it says, Ohudai Lav Chatato Asher Chatat. So what it sounds like is if you're in a Safek, it's an Hashem Talui. When you find out with certainty, now it sounds like you have to bring an Hashem Vadai. That's not what happens. We say you're allowed to use a Tanai, according to Rabbi Tarfon. And Rabbi Kiva even agrees by lower amounts of money that you can make such a Tanai, which would obviate your need to bring an Hashem later on. But at the time you're bringing your Hashem Vadai, you don't know that you Vadai violated that Isur. So what the conclusion is from this, according to Rava, is that an Hashem Vadai, as opposed to a Chatat, or as opposed to a Kurban Olev Yoreid, you do not need the Yediyah first. You don't need a whole dialogue Chatato. By a Chatat, you need to know what violation you did. You need to know for certain that you violated in order to bring a Chatat. And same thing with a Kurban Olev Yoreid. What we're seeing from here is that by an Hashem, that is not true. Even if you don't know what the violation is, once you brought the Hashem, the Hashem works to discharge your obligation, even though you didn't know at the time you brought it, you really were in violation. Nevertheless, it works, because otherwise, what's the whole point of this deny? It doesn't help you, because in the end, you're going to have to bring it when you find out. The answer is, no, you will not have to bring it when you find out, because finding out is not a prerequisite to bringing an Hashem. Now, the next Mishnah goes all the way down, three quarters of the way down the next Amud. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to do the first section of the Mishnah, and then we'll complete the Mishnah tomorrow. Aisha Shevia Chatata Of. A woman who brings a Chatata Of, meaning that's the Korban that she brings for a Leida, which is a Ola and a Chatat. If she can't afford it, she brings an Ola Of and a Chatata Of. And also, we know that if she's Bisafek Leida, we're not certain as to whether she miscarried something that is deemed to be a Leida, then she still has to bring the Korbanot Misafek. Otherwise, she can't eat Kodesh or enter into the Migdash because she is Safek Tmeah. But it happens to be that it works out. If you bring a bird for a Chatat and a bird for Olah, you can't bring them ala Safek. And Olah, because you can bring it as a voluntary offering, so you just make a Tnai. If I need to bring it, this is my Olah. If I don't need to bring it, it's a Nidava. Chatat Ov is the one exception to a Kurban Chovah that can't be brought ala Safek. And the reason being is because nothing goes on the Mizbeach besides the dam of the oaf. The remainder of the oaf is eaten by the Kohanim. So if it's a Vadai Chatat, then the Kohanim have the right to eat it. If it's a Safek Chatat oaf, the Kohanim can't eat it. But on the other hand, we are able to process it because all that goes on the Mizbeach is the dam. But the remainder of the Chatat oaf has no application to the Mizbeach. And therefore, it's not like bringing Chulin Azara. And that's why you can bring a Chatat oaf ala Safek. So a woman who has a Safek Leida will bring a olato and a chatato, then establish a condition. If I need to bring a korban leida, this is my korban leida, my ola, my chatat. If I don't need to bring it, then my ola is an edava, and my chatat is brought ala safek, and so then it goes out the beit ha-sreifa, and there's no violation in that. So the Gemara says, Aisha shevia chatato, imad shalo nimlika, if before the nlika, which is the equivalent of the shkita, for the, in the mikdash for animals, is done, nodala she alda vadai, then she finds out she was bringing ala safek. Now she finds out for certain she really needs to bring it, tasena vadai. She can then swap and say, now I'm bringing it for certain on my leida. She may min she may via alohoda, may via alohoda. Because the same Qurban that you bring for a Leida Vadait, you bring for a Leida Bisfeka, and therefore she can swap it out or change it from a Qurban Safek to a Qurban Vadai, as long as she catches it before the Malika is done on the birds. So the truth is, in this situation, even if she does find out after the fact that she has to bring Vadot, that which we brought Allah Safek already discharges her obligation. And she doesn't need to make any T'nai in it, and she doesn't need to bring any more Qurbanot, because this takes care of her status with Safeka. Even if she finds out she should have brought a Qurban, this discharges her obligation, and she has no further obligation. That's in distinction to the Asham Taloi, whereby if you found out that you really did do a sin, you'll have to bring Asham Vadai. And for that reason, you need to make a T'nai in the Asham Taloi when you bring it, which you don't need to do when you bring the Qurbanot of a Safek Leida. And so a woman who has a Safek Leida has to keep the Yemei Tuma'ah, whether for Zachar 7 days, or for a Nekeva 14 days. Then she has the Yemei Tahara afterwards, 33 days for Zachar, 66 days for Nekeva, where she will be a Tvulat Yom Aruch, but she will not get the benefit of any Dam that she sees then if it's being Dam Tahor, because it's a Safek whether she really had a Leida or not. Therefore she will have to deal with both being Tmeyah from the dam that she cites, as well as being a Tvulat Yom Aruch, that she can't clear that Tumah away. Then at the 40th day, when the sun sets, she'll become Tahorah for Zachar, or by Nekeva would be the 80th day. But since she doesn't even know what she miscarried, it might be that she has to keep everything Misafek. So I have to keep 2 weeks of Tumah in the 8 days, because it's a Safek Nekeva. And on the 41st day, or the 81st day, if it was a Zachar, if it was a Nekeva, she is considered to be a mechuseret kapara, she has to bring her korbanot. So in order to free herself of the tumah, she needs to bring these korbanot. And that is, if she's a safek, she'll bring them ala safek. If she knows for certain, she'll bring them with certainty. And if she finds out while she was in the process of bringing that which was for safek, she could switch them into a leida vadait, because of the fact that the same korban you bring ala safek is the korban that you bring ala vadai. Chatikha shel chulin, chatikha shel hekdesh. He has in front of him a piece of meat that is hekdesh, a piece of meat that is chulin. Achal achat me'en ben yodeh is men achal. He ate one of them, but he doesn't know which one he ate. This is a classic case of Asham Taloi. The only problem is that it's not a case of chatat. It's a case of Asham Me'ilot. If he ate the chulin, he did nothing wrong. He ate the hekdesh, he was mo'el, and he has to bring an Asham Me'ilot. According to the Tana Kama, who was the Chachamim's position, you're patur. You don't have to bring any korban. Rabbi Kiva mechayev Asham Taloi. Rakiva the Shitato, that you bring an Asham Taloi and Asham Me'ilot, this is a case of where by a Chatat, by Chelev and Chulin, you would bring an Asham Taloi. So too, by Hekdesh and Chulin, you're going to bring an Asham Taloi. Achala Teshnia, if he ate the other one, both pieces, Mevi Asham Vadai, then he has to bring an Asham Vadai, because Mimanov Shach, he ate the Hekdesh, he was Mo'el, and now he has to bring a Korban Asham Me'ilot. Achala Echadet Arishona, Ba'acher Bechala Teshnia, if one individual ate the first one, and then another individual ate the second piece, Zem may be Asham Taloi, Zem may be Asham Taloi, Zem may be Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva, the Shita Do, says you bring an Asham Taloi for problem of Asham Me'ilot. So each one of them has a Safek over here. It was one piece out of two, and you therefore have to bring an Asham Taloi. This might be somewhat problematic for those that believe that you need always two pieces in front of you, because when the second individual came to eat, there was only one piece left. And then maybe it shouldn't be subject to Asham Taloi. That will be determined by why you think you need two pieces in front of you with regards to Asham. Does it mean that there must have been two pieces at the outset? Or there must be two pieces even when the Safek arises? From here it would sound like only in the beginning the Safek must derive from two pieces, but not at the time that you eat it. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shneem Mevin Asham Echad. Rabbi Shimon says they both bring one Asham jointly. And they make a T'nai, they make a condition between them. If I'm the one who ate the hekdesh, this is my asham. If you're the one who ate the hekdesh, then it's your asham. Yotzi Omer, Ein Shnayim Mevim Asham Echad. Two people can't bring a single asham, because he does not have this concept of T'nai B'Korbanot, that you can say that it's for this person, or if it's this, it's for this person, or if I need to, it's a Vadai, if I don't need to, it's a Nedava. He doesn't believe in these T'naim. And this Rabbi Yotzi over here might be actually the Shita that believes that you need a Yediyah B'Tchila B'Asham, and that's why two people can't bring an Asham jointly, because of the fact that you require Yediyah V'Da'it, like by a Chatat, in order to bring it. And so either it is like Rabbi Kiva or the Chachamim, he doesn't say, But that's the way the halacha is going to be. Either you bring nothing, or you're going to bring a shamot taloi, but there's no way you're bringing a single hasham badai and making condition between you. All right, we're going to stop here, top line of Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph, and we'll continue with the Mishnah tomorrow.